Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You got
good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. And it is a nice Wednesday night here in Central Kentucky. And this is Stephen Zimmer broadcasting with you. And joining me tonight are two of the greatest co-hosts around, of course, from parts unknown, Daniel Dark. And joining me just in the nick of time, the lovely, the vivacious Holly Phillippe. Welcome and hello.
By God, at least I wasn't late, right? Hey, I made it right down to the
few
seconds left here.
you did. I'm impressed. Considering where you were like 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Scrambling.
Yeah. Oh, I got her done. I'm
so that's
here.
Dedication. Yeah, Daniel made it in, I think, with about a minute or so to go, and I made it in, like, with about 50 seconds to go. So I think all of us were running real tight. Tonight was a tight one.
Right? We're not late.
No,
so, hey.
We are not late. We started the show on time and ready to bring you a great one tonight. It's going to be a good one. Tonight, of course, we've got a fantastic guest coming up, but we do have some cool news and breaking news, too. The one and the only Michael Nost is getting closer to his second Bram Stoker Award. We just got news tonight that Writers Workshop of Horror 2 has moved from preliminaries to being named a finalist for the Bram Stoker Awards in that category, which I believe it's a let's see, it's a book with the specific category eludes my brain at the minute here, but it's, of course, it's a book of articles and essays and interviews with top horror authors from around the world on the topic of writing horror. So I guess that would fall in either like an anthology category or something like a like a nonfiction category, one of those. So I'll have to verify that just to be specific. But it is a finalist.
You're talking. I'll hop on Amazon and see.
But it is a finalist. So. Congratulations to Michael Nost. That is great news. Very excited about that. And, yeah, hope to catch up with Michael hopefully sooner than later. Loads of news coming on the Imaginarium front. We announced a great spotlighted guest today, Tor Teen author. She's a YA fantasy author with Tor Teen, named Jillian Bohm. And she is fantastic. And we just announced her today. And then we got a lot of stuff for you all to review. We put up the first list of panels and workshops for 2022, and it is a big one, and by no means complete. There is more coming.
No.
Not a final list. More workshops, more panels will be coming, so check back regularly. But if you go on the site now, there is a menu choice for that, and you can check out a slew of panel topics and workshops and see a lot of the great programming that you'll get to partake of at Imaginarium 2022. And that was that Holly has been working really hard on the programming front, and yeah, we were able to get up a nice big list today. So that's kind of exciting. So yes, thank you, Holly.
Yes, you're welcome. You're welcome. I've got a long way to go, baby. Oh man, that's what I said every year. I'm like, oh, I can't top last year. Well, hold my beer, because watch me. I mean, it's crazy what we got coming down the pike. I just put out a taste. Stephen put those up there for me. I wanted to say on the Writer's Workshop of Horror 2, what she's talked about with Michael Nost, it's a collection of essays and interviews focusing on the art and craft of writing horror and dark fantasy, and it has best-selling authors like Stephen King, Anne Rice, R.L. Stein, and, you know, several others.
And what I'm trying to figure out is what category it is for the Stokers, because it's the Stoker Award.
Well, I'm not sure because it's 95. It's already 95 rank in science fiction and fantasy writing on Amazon, and that's amazing.
Yeah, the Bram Stoker Award category is what I forgot to get from Michael. I got the news less than an hour before the show, so I just didn't think to get the exact category that the award is in. But it is a finalist. It is definitely a finalist, and he just received that word, so I wanted to make sure that we pass that on tonight. That's awesome. And you all can see Michael in person this summer on panels and workshops at Imaginarium. Yes, and he hopefully by that time will be a two-time Bram Stoker Award winner. And, we've got a lot of guests with Stoker Awards. They're piling up at Imaginarium. Yeah, because I know Ellen Datlow, our guest of honor, has got them, got some. Well, I think she's got multiple Stoker Awards, and there's several others. But, it's a great award. It's a great award. It's a big one. It's one of the big ones. So congrats on that. And check out the Imaginarium site. Check out the guest, the panels and workshops. And then also in other news, today is my release day for Burning Skies. It is out. New Ragnar Stormbringer tale. This one is set in a desert setting, so a little different from some of the other Ragnar Stormbringer tales that are currently out. So definitely take a look at it. It's about out in ebook. It's a standalone novella. You don't have to have read the others in the collection, and it is only $2.99 on Kindle, Nook, Kobo, iTunes, and others. It's on some others as well. So definitely check that out. Help me get that off to a good start. Really would appreciate it if you pick it up, and because that always helps the early first or second day algorithms on the sites. I know how those work. But it's out, and I think it's a really, really tight and good dark fantasy sword and sorcery tale. Lots of action, lots of some good sorcery creatures, and there's a little hint about with one of the main baddies that's on the cover art. So, got a lot of good feedback on. Got a lot of good feedback. So
that's awesome, and congratulations on your release day.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So that's out now.
And Writers Workshop of Horror for the Bram Stoker Award, it is up for the Superior Achievement in Nonfiction.
Nonfiction, okay. I knew it was probably nonfiction. Yeah, I knew that was one of my two guesses there. Awesome. And I see Tommy B. Smith is joining us.
Up for one, too.
Yep. she's going to make another one.
she's up for a Superior Achievement in Anthology. So,
yep.
Good luck. And I've seen a few other names on there that I know. So,
Ellen Datlow is literally regarded as probably the editor in when it comes to anthologies, and definitely probably the most major award-winning editor out there for sure. I mean, she's won every major award in speculative fiction genre. I mean, the World Fantasy Award, Hugo Awards, Stoker Awards. I mean, it's impressive. Read her biography sometime. It's a massive list of awards. But looking in the chat room tonight, I want to welcome some of our early attendees in there. We got Amy McCorkle, got Tommy B. Smith, and we've got Clayton Barnett hanging out in there. So, we're starting to build up some good folks in there. Yeah, good to see you again, Tommy B. And just so you know, Tommy B., I do have the whole Fates Warning discography now. You'll know what I'm talking about. Give him some of my music news there. But, so that's I guess, the main news that we have. It was the Imaginarium panel and workshop list went up, my new book, and then, of course, Michael Nost with his news. He's a finalist for a Stoker Award in the Superior Achievement in Nonfiction category. So, absolutely great. So, very excited. We got to have a little bit of a party tonight for sure. But let's get let's see here. We've got two sponsors tonight. We'll go ahead and get them in here so we can actually be fully on time tonight. We got the awesome Sandy Lender, the genre blender herself, and, of course, the fine folks at Per Bostet Publications. They are just awesome. And definitely, if you come to Imaginarium, make sure you spend some time meeting Sarah, Marion Allen, and Teely Harris. All three will be there, and definitely expect a great display from them. They're going to do, I think, at least a couple table spaces. They're going to bring a lot of stuff, and probably going to also be right next to our rescue cats when we have our cat exhibit, too, so we can see some cats right next to Per Bostet, which is quite appropriate, I might add. That'd be awesome. So, but, yes, for Per Bostet, we are going to give you a little bit of info on them, and then we'll give you the spot for Sandy. First, for Per Bostet. Per Bostet Publications is a small press based in the Louisville metro area, specializing in speculative fiction and other outside-the-box books. With over 30 titles in print and ebook formats and a handful of audiobooks, Per Bostet offers a little bit of everything. Explore post-World War II England with 11-year-old Sylvie and Edelweiss for Elizabeth, the sequel to Andrea Gilbey's Bottle Tops for Battleships, or dive into the thrilling world of Karma and Crime, a new supernatural mystery by J. Paul Burroughs. You can find these titles and more at PerBostetPublications.com, at Amazon, or you can find the press in person at regional events such as the Imaginarium Convention coming this July, Per Bostet Publications, where timeless tales unfold. Thank you very much, everyone at Per Bostet. Appreciate your support. You guys are awesome. And now for the new spot from Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender.
Do you want to continue creative conversations every day? Author Sandy Lender invites you to join her community on the alternative social platform, Locals. Join Sandy Says Read at locals.com and support a creative community. And just like a drug dealer, she's offering the first month for free with promo code READ. Get access to fun, creative content, book news and reviews, and share opinions that don't randomly get canceled. Use code READ to join Sandy Says Read on Locals today.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you. You're awesome. And I know Sandy may not be hanging out tonight, I know, because she's been traveling again, I know, with all the asphalt industry adventures. So I know Holly had found a good meme that she found that was asphalt-related. We don't find many of those, and I know Holly emailed it or texted it to Sandy. So hopefully, Sandy, if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed that. Hope you enjoyed that.
She did. She sent me one back, but she did. Oh. I'm gonna say what it was because it's too funny. Daniel liked this. It says, "Never blame someone for the road you're on, as in you are on. That's your own asphalt." Get it? Asphalt.
little surface humor.
That's your own asphalt. And I said, oh God, I've seen that. And I was like, I gotta send that to Sandy.
Oh man,
asphalt humor.
That's good. Yeah, Tommy B probably funny. Just fell off his chair laughing at that one a bit, but he probably caused him.
I was gonna say that's almost as good as the joke that I heard about an old man going to the doctor.
What happened?
You know, he went to the doctor and everything for his annual physical and stuff, and the doctor, you know, brought in this cup and everything and said, you know, I need a sample of semen in it. So, you know, and the old man said, why? You know, he goes, well, it's just normal and everything, just trying to check everything on you. He goes, just take it home with you, you know, where you can relax and give me a, you know, sample. He comes back and everything, sets a cup on the desk, and it's totally empty.
Oh.
And he's there, and the doctor looks at it. He goes, didn't have any luck? He goes, nope. He goes, I tried with my right hand, couldn't get it. Tried with my left hand, couldn't get it. My wife came in there. She tried with her left hand, couldn't get it. Tried with her right hand, couldn't get it. Even tried with her mouth and hand together and everything, couldn't get it. called a friend and was over. And everything, just, you know, they worked together trying to get it and everything. The doctor said, goes, she called a friend over? He goes, yeah, she called one of her friends over and everything. None of us, you know, could get it. He goes, you couldn't get a sample? He goes, no, we couldn't get the lid off the jar.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
That's a little Daniel Dark humor there, folks. This is what Daniel,
that's pretty good.
He'll be doing shows all week at 5, 7, and 10. Yes, he'll be in all week. Well done, Daniel. And that brings us to our guest. What an intro before our guest there. But no, that is not the intro for our guest. Tonight's guest, I am very honored to have on the show for the first time. And she is a fantastic author and has written everything from romance to suspense to mystery. Currently, however, she is being very, her awareness for being very spread wide and far on her new Nathan Perry mystery series. Of course, that's kicked off with Homecoming the Murder, then The Coin Collector, and now the brand new title, Witch Hunt. And of course, now you know who it is. Bringing aboard to the Star Chamber show for the first time, the one, the only, Carol Preflatish. Carol, your microphone is on. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
There
Good morning.
You. First time. About time. This
took
is great.
Mess, didn't it? God, I can't even believe this.
I know, and there's so many times we try to, on open call nights and stuff, we try to get you to call in and stuff, but it took us, like I was telling Carol, you know, only Elon Musk is a harder guest to get, but after 8 years, we finally got Carol on the show.
The elusive Carol.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm worth waiting for. That's
I,
right.
I agree.
Right.
She didn't want to be, you know, be associated with us anymore, so.
Oh, no, never. Yeah.
This is awesome. Even Tommy Lee says, it's interesting to have Carol on the show. Finally.
Finally.
Finally. So, yeah, it's good to have you speaking on the show live. This is awesome. This is the first time in, you know, 305 episodes that we've had you here. So, of course, we know you very well, Carol, but go ahead and just for the audience that has not met you yet, just go ahead and just give a little description about the kind of stuff that you write, and then, yeah, we'll dive right into your new release and the series.
Okay. Well, I started out in 2010, published my first romantic suspense title. I think I've got like seven or eight romantic suspense titles out. Then I got kind of tired of writing romance, and I love mysteries. I love to read mysteries, so I switched over to that to give that a shot, and it's worked out real well with the Homecoming to Murder, the Coin Collector, and now Witch Hunt.
Yes, yes, and what a series it's been. I mean, I can speak with on these books because I have served as your editor, of course, so I do know them very well, and I can say, I mean, the series just keeps getting better and better, but I think it's because, you know, you keep building on the foundation and the characters keep advancing, and that's kind of the cool dynamic of a good series. Every new title just keeps building and building and you know, gets better and better and better, and of course, you know, these can – the way it works, I mean, yeah, there are three titles, but they can be read as standalones. I mean, they can be enjoyed certainly in any order, but I think you get a real good vibe if you do read them in the order that they're released because of the progressions of the characters. And Nathan Perry is a great protagonist. Of course, that's, you know, obviously the main character. That's who the series is named after. And how did Nathan Perry come about in your mind? How did he reveal himself to you? What inspired Nathan Perry to anchor the series?
Well, I am a huge fan of the late Robert B. Parker, Jesse Stone series. It's about a police chief in a Massachusetts town. So that kind of inspired me to come up with Nathan Perry. He's the police detective, not a police chief. And it's just that I love police procedurals. That's my favorite shows to watch on TV, and that's just kind of how he came about.
But he's a veteran. Yeah, he's an Afghanistan, from Afghanistan and everything. So that part of it, is that a personal thing to you, or did it kind of evolve as you're writing him, or what inspired even that element? Because that's a cool part of his character.
I'm a big supporter of the veterans. My father, my brother, my son-in-law, I have nephews, I have a niece, uncles. They were all veterans. I just big supporter. And I just wanted to write that him in as that type of character.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I do think that adds a lot to him, and it certainly does, come up in some things throughout the series. But you have the setting, Mystic, Massachusetts. So tell us, is that a based have you personally been there, or how did you conceive the setting and that, how'd that come about?
Mystic is a fictional town, but it is based on Salem, Massachusetts. I have not been there. That's on my bucket list to someday get up there.
Me too.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Maybe we could plan a trip together, Holly.
Yes. We'd have a blast.
Excuse me?
I said we would have a blast.
Oh, my gosh, we would. I've always kind of been interested in witchcraft, things like that. I don't practice it, but I'm interested in it. And so I wanted to make that – I didn't want to delve right into the series with that, so I waited to the third book before I brought witchcraft into the series. But, yeah, it's based on Salem. And in the book, I have Salem be a neighboring town.
Yes.
Neat.
And that it makes things very interesting when we get to your third book, because as the title suggests, witchcraft and things like that play a big part in the third book, and then having it in Massachusetts, near Salem, obviously, is the perfect setting for that kind of story. So tell us a little bit about the brand new release, which is out now in print and ebook, and the witchcraft elements.
Well, this one, somebody's killing the modern-day witches in Salem. And, of course, it's Nathan Perry's job to try to find out who's doing that. The first murder, the witch is found hanging from a tree in a cemetery. The second murder, the lady is found in the harbor in the ocean. And the third one, it was an assault more than a murder, and that was also on a witch that owns the local mystic magic shop.
Yes, it makes for a little bit of a little darker, more thriller kind of edge in this one with that that kind of topic and theme kind of woven into it. It keeps definitely makes you in the back of your mind think of stuff while you go through it, but. But you said in conversations with me that this was your favorite one to write so far in the series. And why was that?
It is. I think just because I was so fascinated by researching Salem and researching modern-day witchcraft, I just really got into the writing of it, and it just made writing it so much easier because of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And I know
Clayton,
I always want to dive in here.
I have a question from the chat room. Clayton is wondering if Carol's book is at all Lovecraftian, given the setting of Massachusetts.
Is it what?
Lovecraftian. That's the question.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so.
No,
I mean,
no, you don't have represententation of elder gods and stuff like that. It's not that kind of setting.
Right. I do have one scene where the coven is having a ritual, but it's very simplistic. It's not, I don't delve into that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not speculative fiction as a category. It is a mystery and mystery series. I know a lot of people, it comes to mind as far as, you know, when they read the topic that, you know, involves murders with witches and, you know, things like that. And you did some nice research, but I'm going to leave the topic of witchcraft to Holly, because I know Holly's wanting to interview you about that, because you had some good stuff
Holly
in there.
Holly knows more about it than I do.
Including like you said, a ritual and all kinds of stuff in it. So, Holly, yeah, you're the best suited to cover this part.
That's magnificent. Did you watch, I mean, what kind of research did you do? Did you actually talk to any practicing witches? Did you watch, like, YouTube videos, you know, ritualistic videos to get an idea? Or was it mainly, like, going through, like, research papers, analysis of, like, you know, Salem's history?
A little bit of all that. I've watched some documentaries on YouTube. I think the Discovery Channel had a really, really good documentary that I watched about witchcraft in Salem. And I probably watched it two or three times. I sat in front of the TV on the couch with my notebook and I scribbled notes down. My main book that I used was, there's a, you know, the dummy guides and the idiot guides. There's an idiot guide to witchcraft and Wicca. And I have that bookmark.
I did not
like you
know
wouldn't
that.
Believe. Yes. Yes.
That's awesome.
I have that bookmark like you wouldn't believe all the notes I highlighted, you know, the pages tabbed. And then I also bought not too long ago, there's a Time Life book, or it's a more of a magazine than a book, that's about the Salem witch trial, and I bought that and read up on that.
Very cool. There's these books, if you go further into that, it's a book of shadows and it's called The Solitary Witch. And I mean, it's Stephen knows I have this book. It's sitting here right on my dresser. It's a great reference. I mean, it's the A to Z. It goes through everything. It goes through the history and why we do what we do and the reasoning behind spells and, you know, warnings that, you know, if you do this, you know, it's going to require payment from you. Be careful, you know. It's fascinating. But, yeah, I'll send you the link to this.
Oh, great.
For future reference. It is totally fascinating. It's like a witchcraft encyclopedia, if you will, but it's full of like spells and different things like that too. It is a fascinating read, and I've not been through the whole thing. I mean, it is vast.
Oh wow! Believe it or not, the Idiot's Guide to Wicca and Witchcraft also has some spells in it.
Yes, I believe that.
Yeah.
Clay said that the modern term for witch is Karen.
Oh, God.
Clay.
Oh, God. Daniel and Clayton are top in the humor department tonight between the two of them. I don't know what to do now. But
he said I turned him
Carol.
Into a Newton. I'm like, don't tip me, Clay. Don't tip me. But, yeah, the whole thing with Salem, too, that is fascinating is the fact that, you know, 99.9% of these women that were burned or hung, and there was some men too, they wasn't even practicing any kind of witchcraft. They were like natural healers, midwives, you know, stuff like that. They were killing innocent people that wasn't Satan worshipers or, you know, into, you know, dark sorcery. And it's just sad. But I said the Puritans got theirs because, hey, guess what? They didn't have nobody else around to help them heal from disease and illnesses or to help deliver their babies because they killed everybody. So I said, you know, they did get their karma, but, and that's why there's no longer Puritans.
A lot of the people that was, that were accused of witchcraft in Salem, actually the people that accused them wanted their property, and that's why they accused them.
Yeah. Or a man wanted rid of his wife.
Yeah.
That was a good way to get rid of her. She's a witch, you know, he's having an affair. Oh, my wife's a witch, you know, let's burn her, and I'll marry this other one. Yeah, They used to do that, and then they used to claim they were crazy, too, and put them in institutions. Did you ever watch the series Salem?
Yes.
Love
I
it.
Did. That was a good,
I'll say,
good
I would
series.
Recommend anybody, you know, that likes your books,
it's
that's
on
into that, you know, to watch. Fascinating.
Yeah, it's on Hulu right now.
Yes. Yes. And I mean, it's loosely, it's fiction. It's, what do you call that? It's not historical
fiction.
It's altered, alternative or alternate history.
Alternate history.
Based on a truth, but not exactly.
Correct. Yes. It had like Tituba, and all that in there, you know, it mentions her and she was, you know, one of the, more named of that time. How did you come up with like the names of your characters?
Just in my head. That's mainly how I come up with them.
So they're not like resembling you know, anybody that you knew or
nope.
Well, I know a lot of authors they sit around listening to conversations in public people have and
Well, I haven't been out in public.
That'd make
too
a
much
good, you know, Karen.
No, they're just names I've come up with that I thought would fit the character.
Cool.
You know, what Carol's not telling you, Holly, is that really the cat suggested the names, you know, but she didn't want to like have people think she was crazy.
Yeah.
She has the animal handling ability.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I said the cat's here on the couch next to me.
The cat actually is an avid listener of the show. Carol has posted pictures online, and we have shared them, of her cat, like, staring right at the screen during a Star Chamber show listening. So so her cat is one of our listeners. So hello to the cat.
One of the fans. One of the many fans.
Daniel, do you have any questions for her? Because I know you love this world, too, of occult.
Yeah. Do you use any of the spells in the book?
At the very end of the book. I can't reveal that because that's the end of the book. But, yes, there is a spell that is done at the end of the book.
Okay.
Can confirm.
Yeah.
that is, you know, that's all I needed to know is if you used any of the spells for the book
which,
and everything.
Which may carry over into the next book.
No, cool.
And then you also
all that good
you
stuff.
Also have a blessing kind of thing at the front of the book, too.
Instead of a dedication, I did a book blessing, yes.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so you... Yeah. Yeah, so she has the theme all throughout it for sure, but yeah, it's cool, and the small town setting I think makes for a interesting dynamic too because you get into the mentality and the vibe of small towns, and I know Holly can relate because you know she spent many years in small towns, and you know I've spent some time even though I've grown up you know in larger you know town cities, but you know I do know that the small town thing as well and. But yeah, but as far as mystic and you know that kind of small town setting when a murder investigations are going on, police stuff, that definitely is a major part of it. And if you want to comment just a little bit on the small town aspect of your setting.
Well, you know, small towns do have their characters, and mystic is no different.
Yeah.
The owner of the local cafe, Ginger, she's. Has her hand into just about everything. She knows pretty much what goes on with the police department. You know, Nathan and his fellow officers spend a lot of time at the cafe for their lunches and breakfasts. Nathan's on again, off again girlfriend, high school sweetheart, Dana, is the local news reporter. And then there's a local private investigator, Joe Cassidy, who I think is a really good character because he's got his nose into everything. And then I know Steven's favorite character is Gloria, one of the police officers.
It's my favorite secondary character. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yep.
And that actually, I would love to have had you on the day we were one of the episodes we were covering the importance of secondary characters and what they can be if you pay, you know, spend time to develop them and make them compelling and interesting. And Gloria is definitely an example of one of those characters. I think I mentioned Gloria when we did that show.
Yeah.
But I even feel like you could do a whole series on her if you ever wanted to at some point, because she's that good of a character. But yeah, tell a little bit about to get into the discussion of some of your support cast. Give us a little picture of Gloria and kind of, you know, without giving spoilers, you can talk a little bit about how her character has advanced through the three books, because I love her arc.
Well, in the first book, Homecoming to Murder, Gloria basically works the front desk at the police department. She works the front desk at the police department because the chief of police is an old guy who does not think that women belong in law enforcement. So she has that hanging over her head. She wants to move up. She wants to patrol the streets. She wants to be involved in investigations. And she and Nathan become friends at the station, and he relies on her to do a lot of the paperwork, a lot of the research that needs to be done. And he is completely in favor of women in law enforcement and trying to get her to move up the ranks. In The Coin Collector, she does more, but she does a lot of research. She cracks a couple important pieces of evidence in Coin Collector. And then finally in Witchcraft, she comes to the forefront and becomes way more involved in the investigation.
Yes. And Holly,
do you want me to give
away?
You
would love Gloria.
What happens to
you
her?
Love...
I've not read the whole book yet. I've got to read the whole book.
You got to keep that up in the air, because I think the important thing to reflect is that she really makes strides and becomes a character that readers, I think, really bond with as well. And so it's not just Nathan Perry. You end up meeting and getting to know a lot of a great support cast. Even from the local reporter.
Great.
To the lady that is the server in the local cafe, all these typically small town roles, but the characters that Carol has made for them are very engaging and interesting. So it's neat how she blends
an ensemble of characters.
Yeah. Yeah, and you look forward to seeing them in the next books after you meet them in book one, and start the journey. I mean, you really do look forward to seeing what happens to these, like you said, ensemble as you go forward. But Holly, yeah, you would like Gloria. She's a tough gal, and she's no nonsense and wanting to make things happen. She's got a little bit of you, I think, in her.
That's awesome. My kind of gal.
Yeah.
Clay is wondering too, what kind blessing by whom? He's wondering what the blessing at the beginning of the book, what kind of blessing it was, who did the blessing? Like, is it a written blessing?
It's a book, just a book blessing I found online. Author was unknown.
Okay.
I don't have it in front of me, or I would read it.
Yeah, it just sets a tone. It sets a tone that kind of, I think, gets you in the zone for the sort of, like I said, it's not speculative fiction, but it does get you in that mode that, we're going to be dealing with, a witch hunt, like the title suggests. It does get you in that kind of mood. It's a really brilliant move by Carol. I thought that was really cool when I saw that.
I'm
digging. Go try to find it.
And now that it's the series is at three books, one of the obvious questions are you going to – you got this planned out, mapped out for like 50 books, or what's the plan?
Oh, I don't think I'll live that long. I know I have at least one more. I've got it about half done, although I've been sick, so I haven't worked on it in over a month. But I do have the next one planned out, and I have ideas for more. I just kind of want to see how it goes.
Nice. Yeah, so this is, yeah, an ongoing series, folks. Yeah, definitely exciting stuff. And, yeah, now now that we're finally starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel for live events, you know, coming back, and, you know, of course, we, you know, thankfully were able to have Imaginarium last year, but even this year we're one of the rare exceptions because a lot of conventions have even postponed again, but there are a lot of signings starting to happen and things of that nature. What are your plans for getting out there and seeing the Carol Preflatish readers again? What are you doing? Going to be doing a lot this year, or what's the plan?
Yeah, I think I've got, right now I've got four planned. In April, I'll be down in LaGrange for the Kentuckiana Authors book fair down there. And then I was looking at my book here. Then, of course, Imaginarium in July. And then in October, there used to be a convention called Magna Cum Murder in Indianapolis, and it changed names this year, and it's called Prime Crime, and that is the last weekend of October in downtown Indianapolis, so I'll be at that. And then I always go in December, I always go to the holiday gift show in the county where I grew up, and that's just a wonderful event to go to. But that's what I have scheduled so far. Hopefully, I'll get some more added in.
Nice. Well, that's a pretty good schedule. That's one of the better ones we've heard from guests lately, because everybody's kind of, you know, stepping out carefully and doing one or two here or there. But that sounds like a really good schedule. That's awesome to hear. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to speed up.
I found the blessing.
Did you find it?
If you want me to read it, I found it.
Sure.
Okay. It's called, you just called it Book Blessing. You are my book. You are my way. Inside is my soul, each page a step to my goal. I aim to be one, I aim to be pure, to let all hatred out and allow the light to be endured. So Goddess, my light, protect every single page unto another, unto after another book, unto after this day and age, so mote it be, author unknown. That is neat. I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I like
that's
that.
That's very cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so you are, you mentioned you are about halfway done on another Nathan Perry mystery. What all have you been working on lately, Carol? What's the work in progress view like?
This one is going to be kind of fits similar to Witch Hunt. I was always been a big fan of Washington Irving's Legend of Sleepy Hollow. So this is going to, my next book is going to be a modern day retelling of the Legend of Sleepy Hollow in Mystic.
Ooh. Oh, that sounds great.
Nice.
Nice.
I love the Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
It's a Bob. I know. One of my favorites.
Yeah.
Is it an alternative to Sleepy Hollow, or is it a retelling of it?
It's just a retelling of it, a modern day. There's no reference to Sleepy Hollow in it. You know, instead of Ichabod Crane, the character is going to be Isaac Kane. It's, you know, I think if you know enough about the Legend of Sleepy Hollow that you'll be able to read the book and pick up that that's what it's based on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's going to be more subtle. So you're going to pick up on it, but it's not going to be too obvious. Is that
in
what
your
I'm getting?
Face.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, there's not a headless horseman, but there is a headless motorcycle rider.
Oh,
nice. It's like Ghost Rider without the head.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Daniel approve of that. He's a motorcyclist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, that sounds good. Now, are you working on that?
I love off with their head references. I'm always off with their head.
So, yeah.
That's how I would rule. That's why Steven says never put me in it.
Yeah, never put Holly as a head of state. It would be bad. But
Carol, what type of motorcycle does he ride?
It's a Harley.
Nice. Well, I know, you know, like I was just, you know, seeing that, you know, like with Clayton, you know, he's working on several short stories as well as longer works. So, you know, he's got a lot of projects going on. What do you also, do you have multiple things going on? Are you doing any kind of short stories or other types of projects simultaneously, or are you just doing focusing on one at a time?
I wish I could write short stories. I can't write shorts. I'm too used to writing novel length stuff that the short stories just don't work for me. I do have another book that's kind of sitting back. I haven't worked on it in quite a while because I've been working on the Nathan Perry series. But this one takes place in Louisville, and it's about a female private investigator.
Very nice.
Oh, cool.
And then, of course, you know, as we, you know, as I've encouraged her, you know, she's going to start a series on Gloria pretty soon. You know, I know it. What's that, Daniel?
I'm sorry.
Wasn't there a song by that name?
Oh,
Gloria.
Yeah,
there was.
Laura Branigan, I believe, was the singer.
Yes.
If I'm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Gloria.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
We'll have to get an artist to do a cover of that to for Carol if she does a series of Gloria one day.
I have that as the background of the movie trailer.
On Amazon, have you done any of the videos for any of your books and put on Amazon?
I have a couple book trailers on YouTube for my romances. I've not done one or had one done for the Mystic series.
Are you using them on Amazon? Because they have not a place now that you put videos on there.
It is uploaded.
Yeah, we have not looked
my,
into that yet.
Yeah, I have uploaded the romance ones on my Author Central on Amazon.
Mhm. Yeah, I've not looked into that yet. I need to look into that.
That is, yeah, that is
Stephen,
something.
Have you looked into that?
I
didn't
confess,
even know we could
I've been so buried in everything else. That's one thing that's just evidently slipped by me.
I know, that one stuck by me because I had no idea. Daniel, you're holding out, man.
Daniel, I actually had a
friend of mine that I was on a Zoom with earlier today, you know, talk to me about it because he was looking at my book and stuff like that, and he goes, we need to do a video for, you know, for this to help promote it. So
I agree. And we've got people very capable of doing so. So, yeah, that's something we need to look at down the pipeline here.
Like what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do a short reading and everything from the book. Me doing a short reading in a green screen background.
There you go. Yeah, place yourself like in London. That'd be cool.
Yeah, see, Carol, if we do one for your series, we can do some product placement and finally put that bourbon dispenser that you and I have discussed developing.
There you go.
put it in the background in Mystic in one of the scenes. We can fit it somewhere.
Hey, there's enough bar scenes in my book that it'll fit right in.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, Carol and I have joked for years about developing a portable bourbon dispenser that can be taken to shows and expos, things like that. And a lot of fun, and we're gonna make millions off of it when we finally patent it and get it out there. But that's the big idea. But I do miss the live stuff, and I am looking forward to definitely seeing you again. It sounds like sooner than later, then, if you're going to be doing LaGrange.
Yeah,
that's not too
LaGrange.
Far off. I always think of that ZZ Top song, LaGrange, whenever I think of Tony's event there. He needs to use that to promote it. Yes. Yeah, I saw where, I don't know, this is sort of off topic, but yeah, congratulations, by the way, to Tony. I saw he got a new position as an artist in residence in LaGrange and for the Oldham County school system. I guess he's doing a creative writing program with them, helping them develop one there. So, yeah, major kudos to Tony Acree, of course, of Hydra Publications and the Victor McCain series and all that good stuff, and mutual friend of all of ours here on the show, including Carol.
And Imaginarium's Toastmaster extraordinaire.
Imaginarium's Toastmaster extraordinaire, yes. And he keeps asking us, do you want me back? And you got the position as long as you want it, Tony. Don't worry.
Yeah, we keep telling him that. He's like, if you have me, I feel like, you know, I'm not as important now. And it's like, no, you've got that position as long as you want it.
Yeah, yeah. Tony's awesome, yeah, of course. And, but yes, and you'll get to see Carol too at Imaginarium, which would be loads of fun. So, yeah, now and it's always fun when you got three books out in a series. You got that nice balanced look when you display that. So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
And the covers.
Tony published one of my romances too.
That's true. And those covers
are
so good.
Talk about it. What was it a?
Yeah.
I was going to say, what was it about?
Yeah, tell us about your romance writing. Yeah, because that's another part of you.
Well, that's probably my favorite one is her Bluegrass Bow, which Hydra published. It takes place down close to Lexington on a horse farm. And that's one of them that I also did a book trailer for. If you go to my Amazon author site, you can see the trailer on there, or go search me on YouTube and you can find that on there. The last romance that I put out was Mountain of Deception, which takes place down in the Smoky Mountains.
Very nice.
Oh, cool.
So what are there other genres that you are interested in writing beyond mystery and romance? Are there anything tugging at you to eventually try?
Not really. I'm just so hooked on mysteries that, you know, like I said, that's what I read. So that's what I'm interested in writing. So I'll probably stick with it for a little while.
Yeah, Holly's a mystery reader. I mean, I love a good mystery myself, and definitely enjoy them. But I know, yeah, Holly's a very dedicated mystery reader too. And I know you're gonna love this series when you actually get some time with for Holly. That's not
right.
That's not much.
What
much
time? What are you talking about?
Yeah, but when spring hits, we're gonna definitely make time on the back deck to when it's nice and sunny to go out there and read, because Holly and I love to do that before, and it was helped us keep sane, and we're gonna do that again this year. So maybe Holly can put that on her reading list for the porch.
I think
yes, when we can sit out, drink wine.
Yeah, and read out in the sunlight, and I should have some. Yeah. Some good reads, like Carol's new one and her previous two in the series. Of course, I've got a little bit of an advantage here because I've gotten to go through them thoroughly, so I feel like I'm a little more advantaged among the group here tonight. But
you know,
but, they're yes, I do, and that's why I'm careful not to blurt anything out. Be careful about what questions I ask you. But each one has its own character, and each of the books is has a distinct vibe to it, and it's neat how you kind of work in, you know, the new, kind of new theme to it, like, you know, when you got to like Coin Collector, numismatics, and the world of coin collecting and coin rare coins kind of works its way into that theme, and then this one, of course, with witches and everything, and then the first one, you know, definitely is a very much a setting to setting small town kind of theme setting in the first one. And so it's kind of neat to see how you put a unique flavor on each of them. Yeah, they don't. None of them remind me of the other. They're all distinct. And that's
they all can be read standalone, but that they are a series.
Yes, and one I advise all mystery and other readers to get, even if you're not a regular mystery reader. I love to advocate reading outside the genre you write in. Yeah, give these a try because you're gonna learn about how to write good mystery by reading Carroll's works. That's one reason, you know, that I had Imaginarium formed as it was, because you can always learn something from a writer of another genre, a writer of a genre that you do not write in. You can learn elements, techniques, things like that, that you can draw into any kind of writing you're doing. And Carol certainly is definitely a top flight one. So yes,
thank you.
I highly recommend that. But on the craft of mystery writing, Holly, do you want to tackle any of the craft of mystery writing questions, or what do you want to
craft of mystery writing? Well, let me ask you this: what are some of your inspirations? Did you like Sherlock Holmes growing up? I mean, what sparked your interest in the mystery and holds that interest?
I love police work. If I had not gone into social services as my profession and I was in better physical shape, I probably would have been a police officer. That law enforcement's always fascinated me. So that kind of what got me into writing the police procedural type books.
Nice. So you're more, your interest is more of like modern day with police procedures more than, a cozy mystery or a mystery that's set in a different time period. You're more of the modern day, crime scene investigation.
Exactly.
Yes. That is fascinating. I love all the, do you listen to the crime podcast and watch YouTube videos of about serial killers and documentaries about solving mysteries and crimes?
Yeah, I do. I haven't listened to any podcasts, but there's a really neat, and I wish I could think of the name of it, but there is a really neat YouTube series about death, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. Mortuary, things like that. Very interesting about that. I watch a lot of on Netflix. The book that I mentioned that takes place in Louisville that is on the back burner right now. The first book is about an art theft. So I watched the Netflix series about the big art theft that happened in Boston, Massachusetts Museum several years ago, to kind of get an idea on how to proceed with that.
Okay. Well, there is. And Stephen, I told him, I said, don't think about the makeup. Get past the makeup. But there's this young lady I watch, Bailey Sarian, and she is on YouTube.
Love the shows.
And she has, she has her own, Bailey Sarian, where she talks about serial killers, but she goes down, deep into the history. I've shared some of her stuff with Daniel before. She goes into the history and does a lot of research to the point now where she actually has helpers that help her dig for stuff that you just couldn't find. I mean, she knows stuff that you just couldn't find anywhere, and they really dig deep. And then she tells you about, the whole story and how they got caught and crime scene investigation and all this. It's fascinating. And then she does a dark history, too, that, is about the crime scene investigation. But, her murder mystery and makeup Mondays, she puts makeup on while telling the story. And like I told Steve, just don't pay attention. But she's so fun to watch, and she's cute as a button, and you just fall in love with her, and you like watching her, but you don't have to watch her. You can just listen to her. But you would find it fascinating. I mean, and it's a wealth of knowledge
like
if
it.
You're writing. Yeah, I mean, if you're writing that genre, I mean, it is. It's a wealth of knowledge to really take notes and listen to her.
I just looked up the YouTube series that I watch. It's called Ask a Mortician. And it's just fascinating, the stuff that this lady talks about.
Well, if you ever need to ask somebody, my son Martin passed all these exams and everything. He is a mortician, so.
I remember that.
Yeah, he actually passed everything. He's just got to get his credit hours in now. But yeah, to get certified. But yeah, he's a mortician now. So we're always like, you know, asking him
There's
different things,
everywhere.
And I'm like, hey, can you help us? You know, take care of people. He's great.
Yeah, he always gets people nervous.
Yeah, you can pick his brain at Imaginarium. Huh?
Yeah, because he'll pull up in the driveway in some emergency vehicle or something when he visits and freak people out.
Hearse van. He's got like a hearse van because he transports a lot of bodies to Louisville because he lives in Hyman County by Hazard, Kentucky. And they don't have a facility down there. Like the main one for crime investigation with body, the autopsies, is done in Louisville. So he has to drive them all the way to Louisville. So when he does that, he usually stops in and either stays the night or hangs out for a little bit. So people are looking like, what is in their drive?
And if you're into paranormal investigations, he's had quite a few interesting experiences. So, if you're into paranormal stuff, reach out to him if you're an author, because he could tell you a lot of stories.
Well, all my kids, because, they inherit it, you know.
The gift.
We've seen a lot of stuff.
Right. But,
but
yeah, Martin is definitely a good source for, definitely that end of the spectrum. Sure. But it's definitely not my thing. I won't be going to visit him at work anytime soon.
No, Stephen freaks him out. So.
Yeah, that's not my thing. I'm glad there are people that do that, but not me. Oh, man. But
I am glad to check out that podcast. I will check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And but how do you come about, as far as, for a mystery novel? One of the things I find fascinating is making the decision on the major event in it. And then do you work backwards from it? Do you work forwards to it as far as the twists, the turns, when you throw out things to distract or throw readers off? Because you do a really good job of that in these books. I mean, they're definitely, they're not easy to decipher who done it, right away. And so how do you approach that as a mystery author? Do you have some insights, advice for us authors on that? How do you decide your main event and how you get to that? And is it forward or backwards kind of process?
I think it's more forward than backwards for me. I come up with the ideas a lot of times from news stories. Although with the coin collector, I collect coins. So I was, I'm fascinated by that. So I took my knowledge of that and turned it into a murder mystery. But actually, that's the hardest thing to do is throw in those red herrings in there and try to do that. That's the hardest thing about mystery writing.
See, that's what always I've thought too, is how to develop those kind of things, the red herrings to throw in the reader off and giving little hints without. that are there so that when you read the book, you can go back and say, she set this up, but you don't see it until later. there's an art to that.
That's the idea.
There's definitely an art to that, and it fascinates me, and always fun to, read a book and then go back and see those earlier things that were embedded. But this is a book also about relationships, as you said earlier, with the ensemble cast and Nathan. And when you're writing it, how do you balance the character development, their personal development kind of things and scenes? And does that is that more of a thing that you have to consciously kind of put in, as opposed to the very linear follow the clues to the mystery kind of path, deciding on those other aspects of Nathan's world, without getting into it too much, but his love life, things like that.
I think you kind of have to give the reader a little bit of a break from all the technical aspects of the murder and of the investigation. And I think throwing in, like, there's always a, besides his on-again, off-again girlfriend, news reporter, there's almost always a female character in there that is involved in the investigation. I'm not talking about Gloria, but it might be a PI. It might be a news reporter from outside the city to throw in there. But I think it kind of just gives the reader a little break from all the intense investigation part of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think it does a good job of that. And you make also bring up a good point, too. In each of these books, you do have a kind of a main cast of or ensemble of secondary characters that, you know, you carry along with throughout the three books. But you also do have sort of like guest stars in each one.
Yeah.
And if you want to illustrate anything about those characters or talk about how you, you know, kind of bring them into the mix for one book, if you want to comment a little bit on those characters, because you have some very compelling ones without giving away any of them.
In Homecoming to Murder, it's a news reporter from Boston that comes down that's also investigating the murder that happened. She tries to insert herself into the investigation, which Nathan doesn't like, but he becomes somewhat involved with her. She doesn't hang around very long. Can't say too much more about that. I'm trying to think. My books are all running together now. In Witch Hunt, there's a private investigator, a female private investigator, that the family of the first murder victim has hired to help Nathan. He doesn't really like having her helping him, but she charms the chief of police, and he instructs Nathan that they have to work together.
Yeah, does she... Of the those kind of characters, she was probably my favorite because, wow, I mean, yeah, there's some cool stuff that happens with her. And,
interaction between her and Gloria.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't see, it's hard to see what's going to happen with her as you're getting into it, yeah, or predict it, I should say. So, yeah, I mean, that was an amazing character, yeah.
I do have a question. Is you know, we write what we know, of course, and a good writer has to be a good reader. Who are some of your favorite, like, mystery authors, mystery thriller authors, and, you know, that you draw, like, inspiration from?
Or you recommend.
Well, I mentioned, I
recommend
Robert B. Parker. I love his books. But my absolute favorite mystery thriller author is Lisa Gardner. She is just a fantastic writer. You pick up one of her books and you do not want to put it down. You just want to, they're thick books. There's no way you can read it in one setting, but oh man, she is such a good author.
Nice.
I'll have to check her out.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I'll have to check her out. Yeah, it comes that highly recommended from Carol. I'll have to investigate myself.
No kidding.
She's a New York Times best-selling author. She's fabulous. Fabulous.
Nice. Do you use any, like, writing prompts? Do you use writing prompts, or do you suggest using them, or you just find no use for them at all?
I've never used any of them for my books. I mean, I've had prompts that if I just want to sit down and write something, I might look up a prompt, but I've never used them for my books.
Okay. That's fair enough. I know a few people, because I've been reading, and I'm going to actually add a panel about it this year at Imaginarium, but I've been reading that a lot of people, you know, when they feel like they're getting stumped or – you know, they're having a confusion amongst their characters there in the plot, they'll use like a prompt and they'll go from that prompt and then, you know, flesh it out. And some people find them helpful and other people do not. So I was just wondering what your take was and if you use them.
I think just as a, for me, just as a writing exercise, yes. But like I said, I've not really used any for my books.
For writing your novels. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's important, I mean, to write something every day, even if it's, you know, you use a prompt, you write just, you know, a little paragraph or two, you know, just to keep the juices flowing. Do you have, like, any habits, any patterns? Do you, like, listen to music? Do you, because this is your first time on a show. I've never asked you this. Do you listen to music? Do you?
I always have the TV on in the background. I've never written to music, but I could have the TV on. I can zone it out. It's just like white noise. I have to have some kind of noise going on in the background. But if it's the TV, I can just zone right into the writing and get going.
See, that's fascinating. Where, you know, everybody has their – see, that to me, that would be so distracting – because I wouldn't get crap done. I'd just be watching the TV. Steven knows if I turn TV on, I'm done because I'm gonna get into something. And usually it's a Victorian series or, you know, some kind of history documentary or something because I love history. So, you know, I'm gonna be watching something like that and then I'll be paying more attention to it. So I have to keep TV off. I just keep it off. And then when I write, you know, I use like jellyfish music, he calls it, or what do you call it? That would be so distracting for me.
Yeah,
but then, like you, you know, I've heard a lot of authors tell me they got to have some kind of background noise, whether it's a fan, whether it's TV, or, you know, it's so funny how our brains work to where we have to be put into that bubble. We put that writing cap on and go into that bubble, and there's different, you know, things that we have to have around us that helps us, you know, concentrate and stay in that, you know, stay writing, stay concentrated. Yeah, it's fascinating.
And all these years, I'd assume that Carol, you know, was playing Metallica albums turned up to 11. So this is all groundbreaking to me as well.
Well, I didn't know. She listened to, like, you know, my Korean music or something.
Yeah. The AC/DC Thunderstruck, that would be.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
Good album, too.
I listened to, like, a lot of Celtic, and there's actually witchcraft playlists and stuff on YouTube, and I listen to all this stuff. And Steven will be like, I don't know. He comes to the office, and he's like, what are you listening to?
Not always. Sometimes it's good. Just the Sea Ray music always
sometimes it's good.
That puts me in sleepy mode when it's like Sea Ray music. But you'll know when you go to an aquarium, folks. Go to the Sea Ray exhibit, listen to the music, you'll know what I'm talking about. But that does bring me to one area, because it's kind of a good segue from this. But I know that you are, you know, you have an active writing group, and I'd love for you to talk about the writing group, what you how you benefit from being in a regular writing group and the dynamics of yours in particular.
Yeah, I belong to the Sisters in Crime National Organization, and then the local chapter is the Derby Rotten Scoundrels out of Louisville. And, of course, with the pandemic at all, we've not really been able to meet in person as much as we'd like. We mostly meet on Zoom. But it's just wonderful to be able to have somebody that you can talk writing to. We have a critique group that if we need to have something we want to run by somebody, the critique group is there for that. But it's just great to be able to talk to other writers about what's going on. I mean, they're the only – the other writer is the only one that can understand what you're going through when you get stumped on something.
I know some writers say that – they don't like it, but some people are more easy to take in constructive criticism than others. And I believe to get the best out of what you're working on, that constructive criticism is vital. So with you being in critique groups, I'm sure you have the same opinion.
The writing group I used to belong to before I moved, they critiqued almost the whole book of Homecoming to Murder before I submitted it.
Oh,
in.
Wow.
So that was a big help. I mean, they caught a lot of things before I sent it in.
Nice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited about the meeting all the Derby Rotten Scoundrels, because I know that Lynn Slaughter came forward with some, and got some. They're going to be in the Expo Hall too, so that's going to be kind of awesome. Your gang is coming. And one of the interesting things is I noticed that one of our major guests that just came aboard, John Dedekis, the guy's amazing. I mean, he interviewed Alfred Hitchcock, Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan, worked at CNN for like 25 years, was Wolf Blitzer's copy editor on The Situation Room.
Oh, wow.
I mean, guy has and he taught broadcast writing in the CNN Washington Bureau. So, I mean, the guy has like amazing credentials. I mean, just ridiculous. And I'm only giving you like some of them.
And I met him on LinkedIn,
he's got a bunch
of all things.
But he has a mystery series as well. And I loved it because in his resume, he was a member of the National Sisters of Crime chapter. It's
There's
awesome.
A lot of male members of Sisters of Crime.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, yeah, perfect. Well, he's going to be happy because the local chapter is going to be there.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was male members. I thought it was female. And I'm like, well, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's open to all genders.
Yeah, I thought it was like a small world
and,
after
and
all,
And I haven't
though.
Talked to him yet about it. Stephen, I forgot today. I did talk to John, but I'll talk to him tomorrow, too, I'm sure, on LinkedIn. But I need to remind him that the Louisville chapter will be there presenting and that one of our authors is actually in the group. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when I saw that on his resume, the song "It's a Small World After All" started playing in my head, and I was like, "Ah, well, he's going to be very happy because they're going to be there, the local chapter." And I thought that was pretty awesome. And I get so many comments on your local chapter's name. People love that Derby Rotten Scoundrels. That is awesome.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah. What a cool group name.
Yeah,
and obviously, writing groups are interesting. You got to get the right chemistry in the group. I mean, obviously, some of them can be horrific, because some people just, are in there for ego reasons, to lash at other writers and stuff. But you do get the ones that actually are constructive, and it's clear to me, knowing at least a few of the members in your group, that that's definitely the mode I see with them. But when you find that right group, that's definitely constructive criticism, keyword on constructive criticism, those can be highly beneficial.
Yeah, and we all support each other so good. I mean, a few of them promised they were going to be listening tonight, so if they're out there, hello.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and in between.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, and just a great group, and excited to have them coming to Imaginarium, and definitely if you are in the area, that is the chapter for Sisters in Crime in this area, Derby Rotten Scoundrels. So, you've got your own logo, too, which that's cool.
Yeah, awesome. Yep.
It just doesn't stop. Oh, man, one of these days I'll have to just drop in on a meeting just to visit, because it sounds like a great – just knowing a few of the – who's in it, great group.
We are getting ready to open the meetings back up in person pretty soon, so we'd love to have you join us.
Cool.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome. We'll have to come up a night then.
Yeah, thank God that the groups are starting to open up for in-person stuff. We just got word from the ISA, International Screenwriters Association, that they're going to resume Third Thursdays again, and we run the Lexington chapter. So it's neat to hear that that various local groups are starting to move again. That makes me feel better after 2 years of weirdness.
Yeah, people coming out of the woodwork. Well, that's what said. We've got friends that are just because – we got massively sick again back in December. Well, my son Martin brought us the funk.
December
and
January,
I swear
we
had another bout
sick.
Of COVID. We didn't get tested, but me and Noah and my son Noah and Stephen, we all were dog sick for 3 weeks. And I said, we can't do this. We can't lose work. We got behind. I said, we can't do this. So I barred, like, everybody from coming here, and they're about to die because they're all like, we miss you so much. We want to play D&D. We want to – and I'm like, well, I'm sorry. We cannot be getting sick, And so we've had to do the smart thing. Our immune systems suck since we've had COVID, probably twice. And I'm like, no, we can't do this. So,
no,
yeah,
it's
sad. But I said in another month or so, we'll be able to resume. It gets warmer weather, you know.
Mm-hmm.
COVID doesn't like
yeah,
warm weather, thank God.
Come out of the woods a little bit. That's actually why, Carol, it was fortuitous that we had Imaginarium move to midsummer. That was like a stroke of luck, you know, because that worked out last year definitely is for this year. It definitely bodes great. So, but yeah, I'm just glad to see groups getting back together.
Last year that we were aware of, and I mean, we didn't, you know, we follow protocol, wherever state protocol is at the time. You know, we have hand sanitizer available. People want to wear a mask, go ahead and wear a mask. We didn't. And, I mean, we didn't get sick, so, but,
yeah,
you know,
we're fine.
Everybody can wear a mask if they want. That's up to them. Mm-hmm.
But it worked well, and it's not too crazy. So, yeah, it's gonna be fine. But I am glad, like Carol was saying, though, I'm glad to see the groups are coming back together in person, though.
Yes,
definitely. We've missed that dynamic. Nothing. I mean, it's
well, we
got
to get back
thing.
To some kind of normal.
I know you love Zoom, Daniel, but seeing folks face to face is there's just something a little bit different when you're in the same room and interacting. It just, there's something that can't
Daniel.
Be replaced.
I miss Carol.
Yeah. I do too. A lot.
we'll be back this year. So.
Yes.
The gang will all be there.
I don't know if you heard, Carol, but Daniel is returning in person. So
yay!
He will be there.
Great. Great.
I told him people missed him something terrible. I swear to God, every 5 minutes, where's Daniel? Where's Daniel?
Yeah.
Where's Daniel? I said, well, he's at a cigar convention.
it's going
to
get dangerous.
Which he's still not a guy to. He's splitting his time between Imaginarium and a cigar convention. So he's going to do both, and he's going to be wore out that next coming week, that's for sure.
Well, it's going to be dangerous, and Carol's going to get a laugh out of this. But Stephen Shrewsbury, who, by the way, has a great new novel also out called Killer of Giants, so I will mention. And he usually comes like almost every other year. However, this year, he is coming again. So he was there last year. He's coming back this year. So we get Shrewsbury back to back. And, yeah, he's definitely he'll be there, Carol. you know, he's a fun one.
He was at a table next to me this past year.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was. What a character. He's awesome. And
he's fun.
He's coming back.
He's so fun.
He's coming back. So, yeah, Daniel, be ready. Yeah, your buddy Shrews is coming back.
I know.
And Miss Brittany is too. Miss Brittany coming. She'll be back.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
She
was
Daniel?
My table mate last year.
We'll have the gang all there this year. Yes. That'll be good.
Heck yeah. There's going to be a lot of us. Yes. Brittany is awesome. She also has a new book coming out. And she was your table
Finds
mate.
Emotions.
I said you two would be perfect together.
Yeah.
Yep,
even though she writes children, you write mystery.
Time.
I said you two with your personalities, perfect. She is such a sweetheart.
The Return of the Dark Cloud. Yeah, and I don't even want to know what your dark cloud would do, Daniel, and if you had a dark cloud. But her dark cloud
is a children's book.
Daniel. Yeah, not your
Daniel,
dark.
Me and you need to co-write. We need to co-write a children's book for adults.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
This needs to happen down the line. This needs to happen. There is these books. I've seen them. Carol, I don't know if you've seen them, but they're written as children's books, but they're for adults. And it's like go to F to sleep and different. And I mean, they're hysterical. And it they're not for children, obviously. They're for adults.
Not for children.
But it's satire. And it's hilarious. Totally hilarious.
But that'll be a future new project, but you'll have plenty to entertain you and the Derby Rotten Scoundrels at Imaginarium. We've got some characters coming in, Daniel Shrewsbury, many. You're gonna have fun.
Always have fun.
And we are working on having a cat rescue group that's going to come in conjunction with Per Bostet. I know Tommy B. Smith is going to be involved with that. And we're getting ready to get batten down the hatch and get the details on that now that we have programming, you know, going up. So I should have some info with you for you on that soon, because I know you are a fellow cat lover like we are. So.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep. And, of course, your cat's an avid listener of the show, so which we appreciate. We have highest ratings among cats of any show of our type, I think. Yeah, Tommy's cat listens. I know Albert and Vicky do, and your cat does. So, yeah, I'll just go ahead and say that, yeah, Star Chamber show is preferred, but writing-centered podcasts, yeah, cats love us. We have something to brag about, I guess.
Feline following. You have a feline following.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
And now that California.
Wait a minute. We got like 5 minutes. So is there anything that Carol would like to talk about that we haven't touched on?
I don't think so. Other than, you know, if anybody wants to see my books, my website is carolpree.com. I'm also on Twitter. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Find me just about anywhere.
Yes.
Did you do LinkedIn?
Oh, yes. I do LinkedIn. Yes.
Yes. I've seen you on LinkedIn before.
Are we friends on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
I'm going
to
have to check
not.
This right now.
We'll have to remedy that. Steven and I are, I think, but I don't think I've got you as a friend on there.
Oh my!
I love LinkedIn.
I'm very active on there.
Yeah, we'll have to fix that.
Look up Daniel Dark.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, the CarolPree.com.
Yeah, we're friends.
Folks.
Yep, we're friends.
Look up CarolPree.com and get all those links. Yeah.
Yep.
Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's all on there.
And Gex, we want to encourage you to get into the world of Carol Preflatish.
Are you a TikToker?
A TikToker.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What? Are you a TikToker?
No, I am not on TikTok.
It's a world.
I love the TikTok. I am so bad, though. I need to be making more videos. I always do so good on my videos that I need to be making some more.
You haven't liked any of mine yet.
I don't have you on my Tiki Talk yet.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Who are you on TikTok?
Daniel Dark.
Daniel Dark, yeah.
Mm.
We'll solve this.
Well, I will remedy that
done.
When we are off of here.
Yeah, but Carol, it's great that to have you finally on the show, and I hope it's not eight more years before you're aboard again. Now you know that it's...
I definitely want to come back.
Yeah, I've wanted you on the show for a long time. So, yeah, for me personally, thank you for finally being on the show. Now that I've had you on the show, my last one to get is Elon Musk now, and then I'll be complete.
There you go. Yeah.
Elon,
I'll call in if you get him on there.
Oh, yes.
That'll
be a three-hour show. That'll be a Joe Rogan-length podcast. We'll do a three-hour.
Well, I'll ride him. You know me. I'll ride anybody. I'll ride him. I don't care.
He's cool. He's cool enough. He'd do it. He'd do it.
Steven, I thought you were trying to get Steve Jobs on there.
That'd be pretty hard.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Not likely, unless God intervenes.
You might have
to
use a little witchcraft for that.
Yeah, that would be a little bit difficult. I would have loved to have spoken with him. Yeah, I had immense respect for him. I was an Apple fan growing up, and not so fond of Apple now, but I loved it when in the Steve Jobs years earlier. So, thank you, Carol, for coming aboard. And I'm going to turn it over to you
to say any
last comments and goodbye. And next Wednesday we'll be on their show at 9 p.m. Eastern, Star Chamber show. But I'll turn it over to you, Carol, and then Holly and Daniel take us out.
Oh, well, thank you for having me tonight. I really enjoyed it.
Great to have you, Carol.
Thank you for being on.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks.
All right, Holly.
Join us next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Central Time, or Eastern Standard Time, I should say. I don't know why I always went ahead to Central. But remember to write something every day, even if it's just a couple sentences, you know, an affirmation, a note, just something creative. Put your pen to paper, and we will chat again in just a few days. Take care, all. Off to you, Daniel.
And just like there's only one Carol Preflatish, there's only one of you. And you have stories to tell and great artwork to put out there. We would love to see it. We would love to hear about it. You can contact us anytime you want to through the Star Chamber or through Seven Star Press, and let us know what you're doing and how you're doing until we get a chance to talk next week. As I always ask, be creative. This is Daniel Dark signing out.